We're doing Megillah. We're up to Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Berashei Chodeshim Ucholoshen Moed Korin Arba'a. We had said in the Mishnah that on Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed, we read four aliyos, not less and not more, and no maftir. The Gemara quotes, Ba'amine Ula Barav Merava. Ula, the son of Rav, asked Rava. Ba'a means to need, to want, or to ask. Parshat Rosh Chodesh, Ketzad Korinota. How do we read the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh? Okay, guys, you need Chumashim. You should always have a Tanakh when we're learning Gemara.
I know this Pasuk.
That's very good. Guys, you all need a Chumash. Chumash, a Tanakh, doesn't matter. You can't learn this without it. They didn't promise you they're getting you one, so I don't know.
Who said it's not a good idea to have Tosafos on the page? Somebody said that. Some commentator.
What?
Somebody said we don't need Tosafos on the page, we have something else. Who said that though? Somebody. Some commentator said that. You have Tosafos on a separate book, but not on the page.
Don't know. Huh? The Midbar. I want to call Yosef, tell him we have a chumashim. He's still looking.
Yosef, where were the
place?
These are just
okay, in the entrance, next to the Siddurim. You have Tanakh, chumashim, that's fine. The midbar is good. Thank you. Let's open up Parshas Pinchas. And in Parshas Pinchas, we have the korbanos of each Yom Tov. We had a regular chumash or a nah, it's easier to see what we're talking about.
What's the parak in pasuk?
28 pasuk 1.
A lot of pages in this. Follow what's going on. Okay. So we have the parsha that we read on Rosh Chodesh. Begins with what the Christians call the 28th chapter. And then you have 8 psukim. Then you have a new parsha of Yom HaShabbat. And then you have the parsha of Rosh Chodesh. You guys could see it more easily over here. You have 8 psukim, you have 2 psukim, then you have the parsha of Rosh Chodesh. Now, of Rosh Chodeshim. The parsha of Rosh Chodesh is 5 psukim. So you can't divide that into 2 aliyos, right? The parsha of Shabbos is 2 psukim. That can't be a whole aliyah. And the parsha beforehand is 8 psukim, so technically that might be able to be 2 aliyos. But you have to fit in 4 aliyos into these psukim. So let's see. Now we're going to get guidelines as to where you could break. Where could you pause and call another person up to the Torah? So the Gemara says like this. We don't need this really. We'll look on over here. I'm putting that over there. So Ula Barav asked Rava, Parshat Rosh Chodesh, Keitzat Korinota. How do we read the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh? We're supposed to fit in four aliyos into this Parsha. How do you do that? Tzavis Bnei Yisrael v'amatalem t'kobani lachmi. The Parsha, the first Parsha, Tzavis Bnei Yisrael, dehavim timnaya psuki, that Parsha is eight psukim, hechi nevid. How are we going to deal with that first Parsha? Nikri trei tlata tlata psukim. You'll say two aliyos, nikri trei, let two people read, tlata tlata psukim. Each one will read three psukim. So, you have eight psukim. The first aliyah reads three, second aliyah reads three, you're left with two. Tashulu trei, two are left over. Then, misharin b'parsha, pachot mishlosha psukim. You don't leave in a parsha less than three psukim. You see over here, there's a break, there's a pay. That indicates there's a pause in the Sefer Torah. It's a new parsha. So if you'd read three psukim, then three psukim, you're left with two. You're not allowed to leave over two psukim in a parsha. So you can't do that. You can't give each one three. Nikri arba'a arba'a. Let each one read four psukim. Okay, that divides evenly. But then what are you going to do? You're left with seven psukim. Pashulu shiva. You're left with seven psukim. Uviyom ha-shabbat havien trei. The parsha of Uviyom ha-shabbat is two psukim. Uvrashei chodshechem havi chamisha. And the parsha of Rosh Chodesh is five. So how are you going to divide those to get into aliyos? Hechi nevid. How are you going to do that? Nikri trei mehavechad mehanach. If you tell me, read the two psukim of Uviyom ha-shabbat plus one pasuk of Uvrashei chodshechem, and then the next aliyah will have four psukim. That doesn't work because ein matchilin v'parsha pachot mishlosha psukim. When you start a parsha, you have to read into the parsha a minimum of three psukim. Now, if you're going to read a minimum of three, you're left with two. You can't have an aliyah with only two. We said the minimum aliyah is three. So, how are you going to fit in four aliyahs into these parshas? You guys see the problem?
It's a very interesting division over here for parsha.
Yeah. So, what are we going to do? Likri trei meha v'tlata mehach. You'll tell me, let the third aliyah read the two psukim of Shabbos plus three psukim of Rosh Chodesh, pashulu trei. And then you're left over with two. You can't leave the last aliyah to have only two psukim. So what are you going to do? Amalo. So he said back to him, Rava answers Ula Barav, Zulo shamati. This specifically I did not hear. I don't have a tradition on this specific question. Kayotze b'shamati. But a similar thing I did hear, I do have tradition on. Didn't I? For the Mishnah says in Tanis, Bayom HaRishon, in the first day, when the Mishnais in Tanis described the Mamadot, that every day of the week you had people, every week different people in Israel would stand representative of all of Israel, and they'd go day by day, they'd fast, they'd pray on behalf of all of Israel, and they'd have a special Kriya Satorah. They'd read about the creation of that day. Every family had their week during the year that they were representative of Am Yisrael in praying before Hashem. Those who could make it would go up to the Beit HaMikdash and stand over the sacrifices that were brought, representing all of Am Yisrael. You know, we have sacrifices that are brought on behalf of all of Am Yisrael every day. Those who could make it would make it there. Those who could not would make it to the closest square where all the neighboring towns would gather. And they'd sleep in the square and they'd daven in the square and they'd have a special minyan there on behalf of the Jewish people. Every week of the year, different families had their week. So the Mishnah describes how they'd read in the Torah. So the Mishnah says, Bayom HaRishon, they read Bereishis and Vayhi Rakia. So let's flip back to Bereishis. If we have a whole Torah, it's easier. We flip back to Bereishis and we read on the first day, Bereishis, Vayhi Rakia. Vihi Rakia. You read the first aliyah of Bereishis and then the aliyah of Yehi Rakia. Now those total eight psukim. How do you fit in three aliyahs into eight psukim? Similar question. After five psukim, you have a break. You have one parsha has five, the next parsha has three. How do you fit in three aliyahs into eight psukim? So Vetaniala, and so we have a braisa going on that that expands and explains Bereshit Bishnaim. The first aliyah of five, you divide into two people. Two people get the first aliyah of five. Yehi Rakia Bechad. And the next parsha of Yehi Rakia, only one person would read. So we thought about it. I could understand the parsha of Yirakiya as one aliyah. It has three psukim. How could you divide Bereshis into two aliyos? Bereshis has all of five psukim. How do you do that? V'tanya, so the Brisa says, HaKoreh BaTorah Lo Yifchot Mishlosha Psukim. You have to have a minimum of three psukim when you're reading in the Torah. We know that. So how do you divide five psukim to two aliyahs? Each one's supposed to get three. You have only five. How do you do that? V'itmarala, Rav Amar Doleg, V'Shmuel Amar Posek. Rav says, you skip back, you reread one of the psukim. The first aliyah reads three. And the second aliyah starts from the last pasuk of the previous aliyah, rereads that pasuk, and then the next two. That's how each one gets three out of five, right? So that's doleg. He skips back. That's what Rav says. And Shmuel says, posek. You stop midway in the third pasuk. That's a big challenge. Because the third pasuk says, Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or, Vayhi Or. So the first aliyah, according to Shmuel, reads Vayomer. He ends his aliyah Vayomer Elokim Yehior. The next aliyah begins Vayhior. Vayar Elokim. It's a little cumbersome. It's not the way we would expect. Rav Amar Doleg. Rav says you skip back, you reread a pasuk. My taima lo amar posek. Why doesn't he say you break the pasuk in the middle? Because Rav holds called Psuka de lo paske Moshe anan lo paskinan. Any pasuk that Moshe didn't break the pasuk that way, we don't invent breaks in the pasuk. So we can't do Shmuel's option. So here we have an answer to the question we said we always have to ask ourselves. When there's a machlokes, does each side refuse to accept the other side? Remember we said in every machlokes you have to ask yourself. Each side holds their position, but do they hold the other position is tenable or not? So here you see, Rav cannot say like Shmuel. Rav says you cannot divide a pasuk midway. The Shmuel amar paskin alein. Shmuel says we would break it. So you see that if we could only break it, everyone agrees it's a better option to break midway than to repeat a pasuk. The only thing, why I don't know. I mean, I could guess, but you could guess just like I could. But the only thing is, Rav says you can. Now, does Shmuel say you're allowed to do like Rav? It would seem like Shmuel would accept Rav's option. Shmuel is just saying you have a better option. Rav agrees that would be a better option. He just says you're not allowed to. Says the Gemara, Deha'ama Rabbi Hanan Yakra. But Rabbi Hanan Yokra, that was his name, Rabbi Hanan Yo, who read Psukim, who was a master of Psukim. צער גדול היה לי אצל רבי חנינה הגדול ולא התיר לי לפסוק אלא לתינוקות של בית רבן הועיל ולהתלמד עשויים. He says it was very hard for me by Rabbi Hanina HaGadol. He wouldn't let me break in the middle of a pasuk unless I was teaching kids, and they have to, you have to break in the middle of a pasuk, otherwise they can't follow the flow of a whole pasuk. When you're teaching kids, you have to break the pasuk. So you see, he didn't let me. So we said, that's not a proof against Shmuel. Over there, why did he let him break for the kids? Because there's no other possibility. That's the only way they'll understand. This too is called, you have no choice. Just like you have no choice with the kids. So in this case, on Rosh Chodesh, you have no choice. You'll have to break in the middle of a pasuk. Or in the Ma'amadot, you have no choice. You'll have to break in the middle of the pasuk. The Shmuel amar posek, my time lo amar doleg. Shmuel says you break in the middle of the pasuk. Why doesn't he say you skip back? Shmuel says, because we're worried about the people who walk in the middle. They'll hear this guy starting in the middle of a pasuk, and they'll say, if you skip back, I'm sorry, not in the middle of the pasuk. If you skip back, they'll say, the aliyah before him only read two pasukim. And if people leave early, So they'll say, oh, the next Aliyah is only going to read two psukim, or is going to start two psukim before the end. Meitive, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Gemara in Tanis like this. Parsha shishisha psukim, korin ota bishnaim. If you have a parsha for the Ma'amadot, we're going back to the Ma'amadot. If the parsha they're going to read has six psukim, you divide it in two. Two people get three psukim each. No problem. V'shel chamisha psukim biyachid. And if it has five psukim, so then only one person gets that aliyah. Kara rishon shlosha, hasheni kore shnaim meparsha zo v'echad meparsha acheret. If the first aliyah, he read three psukim, no. He left over only two psukim for the next aliyah. So the next aliyah reads those two psukim plus one of the next parsha. V'yesh omrim shlosha. Some say he reads three psukim into the next parsha. V'vishen matchilin parsha pachot mishlosha psukim. Because he can't start a parsha less than three psukim. V'yimit. And if we really accept these answers, lemanda amal doleg nidlag. If you have these options, why does the Gemara over there say that if the parsha only has five psukim, leave it for one person to read? Do one of these options: either skip back or split a pasuk in two. Shani hatam dev shal behachi. The Gemara says over there you could. It's not a big deal if you read into the next parsha. It's not the same thing. You could read whatever you want. It all has to do with that day. So it's okay to read into the next parsha. It's all still talking about that creation. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Tanchum said in the name Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Halacha ki yesh omrim. The halacha is like the yesh omrim, that once you begin a parsha, you must read a minimum of three psukim. We'll continue a drop, and then we'll do an accounting. How does this all come out? Bottom line. So what are we supposed to do on Rosh Chodesh? So let's just finish the two dots, and then we'll go back for an accounting. V'amar Rabbi Tanchum Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Tanchum said another quote in the name Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Kishem shen matchilin parsha pachot megimel psukim, kachen misharin b'parsha pachot megimel psukim. Just like you're not supposed to start a parsha less than three psukim. Once you begin, you got to read at least three psukim into the parsha. So too, you're not allowed to end and leave over less than three psukim in a parsha. And remember, a parsha is that break that we saw, that's denoted by a pay in the tikkun. Pshita, obvious. Hashto mat chalta dekam mekil tanakama machmeri yeshomrim. Shiyur de machmeri tanakama lo koshken de machmeri yeshomrim. Remember in the Braisa, we had the first opinion that said you're not allowed to leave over less than three psukim in a parsha, but you could go into the next parsha less than three. And here we have to really draw a diagram. This is an important concept. We got a piece of paper here somewhere. Okay, we'll use this. Okay, that's fine. Okay, tada rabba. Okay, so if I have a machloket, so let's take our case. We have Tanakama, that's the first opinion, and then we have Yesh Omrim. Tanakama and Yesh Omrim. Yeah? Two opinions. So Tanakama says that if you have a parsha of five psukim, you give that to one person. Meaning, don't leave over less than three psukim in a parsha. So Tanakama holds no leaving over less than two. No leaving over less than three, right? No leaving over. But they say, yes, beginning with less than three, right? Tanakama says, you are allowed to begin a new parsha and read only one pasuk. They say, if the first aliyah read three, by mistake, there are five psukim, he messed up, he read three. The next aliyah reads two, the remaining two, and one going into the next parsha. That's what Tanakama says. Yesh Omrim says, on this last point, no beginning less than three. no beginning less than three. If you started the next parsha, you got to go into it at least three psukim. So now, Tanakama said no leaving over less than three, but yes beginning a parsha less than three. Yesh Omrim says no beginning a parsha less than three. Let's ignore Yesh Omrim for a second. From Tanakama, I see a certain relationship. When it comes to leaving over psukim in a parsha, Tanakama says not less than three. So I'm stringent with leaving over. When it comes to going into the next parsha, I'm more lenient. I allow you to go in only one pasuk. Right? So there's a relationship. Leaving over is more stringent than going into. Are we together? Now, we have to know that whenever we see a relationship in any opinion in Shas, the assumption is everyone agrees to the relationship. Meaning, the Yesh Omrim might disagree on a point. They might say, no, you're not allowed to begin less than three. But they will agree to the relationship that leaving over is more stringent than going into. That's a rule we have in all of Shas. Everywhere you go in Shas, if the Shas builds a relationship between two halachot, the assumption, unless proven otherwise, is that we never disagree on relationships. Meaning, if opinion one says A is more stringent than B, I forbid A, but I permit B, you'll find another 10 opinions. And they'll say, A is permitted and B is permitted, A is prohibited and B is prohibited. Whatever they'll say, they will almost always agree on the relationship between A and B. On that, we assume throughout Shas there's no disagreement. It's an exception when we find it. Tosis and Brachos in one place says, wow, what's going on here? In this Gemara, it seems to be that they're arguing on the relationship between these two halachot. That's unusual. How could that be? Tosis points that out. There's a Gemara that discusses which is considered more honorable to make a blessing over. A whole piece of bread or a broken piece of bread that's bigger. And Tosis says that it comes out from that Gemara that the relationship is an argument. Which is a greater way of honoring a blessing? Meaning, the fact that we'll have an argument, he says mutar, he says asur, he says patur, he says chayav, that's fine. We can handle that, because we're always working with the same relationship. We're just asking, where's the point of differentiation? When does it switch from being mutar to asur? That, we can have arguments. Some say it's over here, some say it's in the middle, some say it's before. Right? You know, if I say, everyone will agree that someone who's 5 feet is taller than 4 feet. The question is, do I only allow from 4 feet upward into this room? Do I allow from 5 feet upward into this room? Or do I allow from 6 feet upward to the room? But everyone agrees that the relationship between 4 feet and 5 feet is the same. Everyone agrees. And there will be no one that says, well, a four-footer can't fit into the room, but a five-footer could. No one's going to say that, because that's ridiculous. Everyone agrees on the relationship. And that's a rule in Shas. Whenever you encounter any opinion in Shas, you could assume everyone agrees with the relationship. Not necessarily with the halacha, but the relationship must remain a constant, unless proven otherwise, and that's exceptional. There are very few places, almost none in Shas, where you'll find that. So that's what the Gemara is doing over here. The Gemara is saying, if Tana Kama told us that you're not allowed to leave over three psukim, but you are allowed to enter a parsha three psukim, Tana Kama taught us a relationship. The idea of going into a parsha is more lenient than the idea of leaving over from a parsha. And if Yesh Omrim is going to tell me that I'm not allowed to begin a parsha less than three psukim, then obviously Yesh Omrim is going to hold that you're not allowed to leave over less than three psukim. It's not a kal vachomer. You guys with me? It's not a kal vachomer. You can't make kal vachomer between two opinions. What it is we're maintaining the relationship. If this is more stringent than that, then if Yesh Omrim holds that on the more lenient one you're not allowed to do less than three, for sure they'll hold it on the more stringent one. It's similar to a kal vachomer. I don't know. Toda rabba. You guys follow? Adam, you with me?
Yes.
Okay, so this is an important point. You'll see there are many Tosfasim that assume you know this point. Tosfas in different places assumes this is a given. You know this. Like Tosfas we said in Brachos, there's a Tosfas on a Mishnah we say in Shabbos, in Bamim Adlikin. We say in Bamim Adlikin. Okay, we won't go into it. Let's go here. If you guys want, different time. So the Gemara is asking, if we're saying the halacha is like Yesh Omrim, like the opinion that says when you begin a parsha you must begin a minimum of three psukim. Why does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi have to tell me you're not allowed to leave over three psukim? That's obvious. Pshita, that's obvious. Hashta uma atchalta dekamatchil dekamekel tanakama. Machmir yesh umrim. If in starting a new parsha, going into a new parsha, tanakama is more lenient. They allow you to begin a new parsha less than three psukim. And even there, the yesh umrim are more stringent. Shiul de machmir tanakama, when it comes to leaving over in a parsha, that even tanakama says you're not allowed to do less than three. Lo kol shekin de machmir yesh omrim, isn't it obvious that the yesh omrim will agree that you're not allowed to leave over less than three? Why did he have to tell me that in a separate quote? Answers the Gemara, no, over here there was room to think differently. Here we go into the logic behind the halachot. Mao de teima, I might think, nichnasin shchichi. It's common that latecomers will come in. But it's uncommon that people leave in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. Latecomers, yeah, there are people who walk in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So for the latecomers, I can understand, because of the latecomers, they said, when you start a parsha, so when you... So for the latecomers, again... When you start a parsha, you have to start three psukim, because the latecomers who, if the latecomers walk in, how's this work? Just a second.
They may think that they were only two parshot, the two psukim in the first aliyah. Nachon?
If you start a parsha, if you can.
If you start at the third pasuk, the latecomers may think that in the first aliyah, they just read two pasukim.
No. The latecomers come in and they see that you started one pasuk, right? So they'll think that you only read one pasuk or two pasukim in the previous parsha. Okay. So maybe over there we go the Yeshuaim. Correct, you're right. But the people who walk out early, if they see you left over two pasukim, meaning they're going, if again, I might think latecomers is common, and therefore, because of the latecomers, what am I saying? Because of the latecomers,
shouldn't be less than three.
You shouldn't be less than three that you go into a parsha, right? Because we don't want them to think the previous aliyah only read one or two psukim. So when you go into a new parsha, read a minimum of three. But the people who leave early and they see you're leaving two psukim left in the parsha, they're thinking, oh, the next aliyah is only going to read two. That's how it works. And that's why we say, also, maybe that's less common. So you're allowed to leave over two psukim in a parsha, and you'll finish off the rest. So that's why we had to say, no, the halacha is even with leaving over, even though that's less common that people will walk out in the middle, even with leaving over in a parsha, you have to leave over a minimum of three. Correct. Shekach, you guys caught it before I did. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Betana Kama, it's good. It's good. Soon I'll be able to take a break and you guys will give the class. Betana Kama, it's a good thing. Maishna Shiure de Lo. If you think I'm joking, I'm not. Where I teach in the afternoon, usually I try at least once a week someone else should give the class and I listen. So if we can get there here, I'll be very happy. Betana Kama, Maishna Shiure de Lo. Mishum Yotzin. And Tana Kama, why don't they let you leave over in the parsha less than three? Because they say people are leaving early. If they see you left over two psukim, they're going to think, the next aliyah is only going to read two. Atchule nami, so why aren't they concerned? Don't begin a parsha less than three. Mishum anichnasin. Because the people who come in late, they're going to see, we're starting the Torah reading from two psukim into a parsha, or one psuk into a parsha. Must be the previous aliyah only read one or two psukim.
So that means they're like not worried that I'm going to miss anything kind of thing, and they change their habit? Is that the concern?
The concern is you shouldn't infer an incorrect halacha. You shouldn't infer that you may read less than three psukim in an aliyah. If you walk in and see that they started only one pasuk, that the last aliyah seems to have read only one pasuk in this parsha, you'll assume, oh, the last aliyah only read one pasuk. When I do a private Torah reading in my house, I got a trick. Every aliyah reads one pasuk, we'll be out in a jiffy. And then you could ruin the whole institution of minimum three psukim. So Chazal said, we want to ensure that the latecomers also understand the halacha minimum of three. So, why aren't they concerned for the latecomers? Amrei, so the students answered, Mandail Shiul Shail. Whoever walks in late, he'll ask, hey, wait a second, did they just read only one pasuk in the previous aliyah? And then they'll tell him, it's wrong. A guy who leaves early, it's like a guy who leaves before Sfiras Homer at night. You leave shul early, you pay a price. You leave shul early, you got no one to ask. You leave shul with the thought, gee, I guess the next aliyah is only going to read two psukim. And no one's going to correct you on that. You come in late, no, it's a bad thing, but at least you can ask. People will fill you in. You walk out early, that's it. You left. You'll never correct your mistake. So that's why Tanakama was more concerned with that. Shalach le'rava b'rei de'rava le'rav Yosef. Rabba, the son of Rava, sent word to Rav Yosef. He asked him the following, Hilchat amai, what's the halacha? How do we do it on Rosh Chodesh? Bottom line, what are we supposed to do? Shalach le, he sent back, the halacha is Hilchata doleg, you skip back, you reread a pasuk, then tzeit dolegan, and the middle one skips back. Now that's a very difficult answer. When you have four aliyahs, who's called the middle one? Out of four, who's the middle? Number two or number three? What does that mean, the middle one skips back? So, look at Rashi. Shim lo yedaleg hu, yeitzarich leatchil b'parsha pachot mishlusha pasukim. If he doesn't go back, you'll have to start the next parsha less than three. And if he reads three of the next parsha, he'll end up reading all of it. So let's reopen our Tanakhs and try to figure out what's Rashi telling us.
We got 8, 2, and 5.
So who skips back? We're opening again to Parshas Pinchas, the Midbar, what they call the 28th chapter. So again, if the first Aliyah reads 3, and the next Aliyah reads 3, you're up to 6. You've left behind 2 Psukim. You can't leave 2 Psukim in a Parsha. So if we read like the Bach reads in Rashi, then what Rashi is saying is if the second one doesn't reread a pasuk, yitzich l'shayer, we'll have to leave over in the parsha less than three psukim. Yeah? And if you say, okay, I'll finish off and I'll read the next parsha, so then you end up finishing off the next parsha, so what do you do there? So Rashi learns, you repeat the third pasuk, meaning the second aliyah repeats that pasuk, at least Rashi according to the Bach. First Aliyah reads Pasuk 1, 2, 3. Second Aliyah reads the Pasuk 3 again. And then 3, 4, 5. Yeah? And the last Aliyah, and then everything else goes normal. 6, 7, 8. And then, yeah. 6, 7, 8. And then the last Aliyah reads everything. That's how it works according to Rashi. That's how it works according to Rashi. Now, the Gra doesn't understand the Gemara this way. The Gra learns that you don't skip like that, but rather, we have to open a Siddur. I don't remember the Gra, how the Gra learns this, but the Gra works it differently. But you see in the Gemara, you have a Siddur with the Gra. Yeah, so most people do it like Rashi.
Oh. Yeah, and it does say skip the third aliyah.
Does say?
Repeat the third aliyah. So it says Shani starts at the third pursuit, and Kohen starts at the third.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It means they repeat the third pursuit.
See the stars?
Right. So they're not doing it like the Gra. Right, that's the way we usually do it. We repeat the third Pasuk based on Rashi's understanding of this Gemara. And according to the Gra, how would we do it? So, according, I don't want to, the Gra of Eliyahu of Vilna. I don't want to misquote it. I have to look it up again. Yeah, Vilna Gaon. Yeah. I have to look it up. I don't remember how the Gra does it. Okay. I guess. Okay, so let's sum up what we see today. We began our learning today with the question, how do you read the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh? We learned the rule that you're not supposed to stop the reading less than three psukim close to the end of a parsha. You're not supposed to stop the reading more than less than three psukim into the next parsha. We saw machlokas and all that. We saw machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Do you skip back or do you split a pasuk in two? We know that Rav and Shmuel halacha kirav beisurei. The halacha is like Shmuel in mamonos and monetary matters. The halacha is like Rav with regards to prohibitions and things like this. In this instance, Rav Yosef told us the halacha is that you skip back and reread a pasuk. And we went according to Rashi, and we saw that today, that's really what we do. We skip back and reread the third pasuk. Okay, we'll pick up here tomorrow, Bezalel Hashem.